Thank you, Kevin. I don't mind telling you, whenever I do something that's a little bit different, it makes me more nervous. So I'm probably more nervous this morning than norm. But I am really thrilled about the opportunity of being able to participate in the activity that we have going on today. This is is something that we started several years ago in our church in Indiana when I was younger and my kids were even younger. And we were talking about the importance of recognizing our role as parents in regard to a commitment to our children. As you may know, those of you that are familiar with Baptists, we as Baptists, we do not have a christening or baptizing of babies, as some of the groups do. We withhold baptism to the point when a child or an adult makes a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they have an understanding of what Jesus Christ did in His death, burial, and resurrection, and how that is a symbol of what Christ had done, so that when they're baptized, they're identified with that great thing that has gone on in their heart. So as a result, as Baptists, we don't tend to have anything special that recognizes the children, other than maybe a baby dedication. But sometimes there's times, even as children grow older, that we want to remember the fact that they are a blessing to us. And we want to reaffirm our commitment as parents to want to raise these children for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is for that reason that we like to implement something like this. We haven't done this the first 2 years I've been here, so this is the first time that we're doing this. So for some of you that are just kind of looking on, wondering what's happening, and those of you who are participating, wondering what's happening, I appreciate your willingness to be involved with this, because I think it'll be a special thing and hopefully something that will communicate that children are a gift to us from God, that we are responsible for, to raise up for the glory of God. There's a couple main points in the message today that I'll want to highlight, and those points would be indicated on the back of your bulletin. Now, I will not be having a PowerPoint presentation for this, because it's going to be somewhat simplistic in what I'm going to be sharing in regard to it. But when I look at the element of a blessing in regard to our families, the first is the blessing as far as of requesting prayer for individuals, of just desiring God's best for them. And I'll be talking about that from Genesis chapter 49 later on. And the second would be that of rendering a blessing of them through praise. And that would be how we use our mouths in such a way that encourage and exhort our children. Well, this morning what I'd like to do now is transition to our time when the parents and their children will be participating. And what I'll do is I will call them up individually. I'll share the blessing, have a prayer for the family, and then allow them to be dismissed. And if your child is in the normally goes to the class that meets over here, they can then be dismissed to that class and spend some time there if they like, or they're welcome to stay with you, whichever you prefer. But that time the teacher is ready. Now, the two classes back here that meet back here, the older children, they're pretty much planning to stay here the whole time. The teachers are dismissing so they can be encouraged by the rest of the message. The first name that we'll be dealing with and be sharing a blessing is Ocean. Ocean has a very special name. The actual origin of the name comes from a Greek word, okeneos. And it has the idea of the river that just surrounds. And any time when we think about the ocean, we think about the vastness and the greatness. And if you've ever been to an ocean, you'll look out over it and see how awesome and great and wonderful the ocean is. And Ocean, my blessing for you is may you always be drawn to the great ocean of God's love and mercy. Let's pray. Father, we pray for Ocean and her mother Rebecca that you'll continue to provide the strength and the encouragement in the process of raising a child. And I pray, Lord, that You would provide, as You only can provide, the patience and that encouragement. And Father, again, I do pray that You allow Ocean to be able to enjoy the great vastness of Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Timothy gets his name from a character in the Scriptures, a pastor in the Scriptures, one who accomplished much for God and has two books named after him, 1 and 2 Timothy. And he was a companion of Paul. And if you were in our message on Mother's Day, we talked a lot about Timothy. Timothy's excited about seeing me, aren't you? No. But Timothy's name means honoring God. And so the blessing that I have for Tom and Emily's Timothy is, Timothy, may the choices you make and the paths that you take honor God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You will be with Tom and Emily as they have an opportunity to raise Timothy for You. We thank You that they have him here to learn about Your Word. And I pray that You will continue to bless them and that You will strengthen them and help them to have a home of honor, that Timothy will learn to be a child of honor who honors You and honors them. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Oh, Tom, you can have that. Kelsey. With her parents, Rob and Julie. And Kelsey means from the water. It means you like to swim, right? It's interesting that from the water is the same thing that the Pharaoh's daughter said when she saw Moses and named him such. For I drew him out of the water. And we all know what a great leader and servant Moses was throughout the whole Old Testament, as he was used of God to write a great portion of the Scriptures, and he was used of God to lead God's people. And in the book of Hebrews, Moses is referred to as the greatest servant of God. So, Kelsey, my blessing for you is may God use you as a mighty servant as He did with Moses. Let's pray. Father, I ask that You will bless this family. We thank You for their involvement with this church ministry. And I pray that as they continue to serve You, that they'll be an example to Kelsey, that she will have nothing but a desire to serve You as well. And we thank You so much for this privilege. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Got the camera figured out? Okay. All right. All right. We have the Barkers up here. And we'll start out with Charity, Precious Barker. And the Barkers did a lot of work for me, and I appreciate it, because they not only gave me all the meanings of their children's names, but also crafted a wonderful blessing. So in a sense, I could almost have Marshall read these, but I will not do that to him. But first of all, Charity. Charity means Christian love. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 13, as that is her, in a sense, life verse, I believe, life chapter. Precious means value, and Barker even has a meaning. It means proclaim the news. And so the blessing for Charity is, may you proclaim the valuable news of Christ's love. Elijah Joshua Barker. Elijah means Jehovah is God. And Elijah was quite a prophet of God and did some great things for him and showed great power. Joshua, also another great servant of God. His name means God saves. And of course, Barker, we already know, means proclaim the news. So the blessing that your parents have written for you is, Elijah, may you proclaim the news that there is one God, Jehovah or Jesus, who saves us from sin. Let's pray. Father, again, we pray that you will be with the Barkers, that you will continue to use them as they desire to raise their two children for you, and that that's their desire, that they might be able to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ dies for sins. And may that be a challenge to each of us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Shanna? We have with us Noah James David. He has three names. And Noah's first name comes from a very familiar person from the Scripture, Noah. And Noah was the one who was on the big boat and got to play with animals. Do you like animals? Huh? So Noah means actually rest or peace. James means Jacob. And we know that Jacob was a great leader again in the plan of God. And David, another great leader of God, his name means loving. So the blessing we have for you, Noah, is may your life reflect the love and peace that comes from following Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll be with Shana, you'll continue to encourage her and strengthen her as she raises her children, that you'll allow her to have that great love and peace to pass on to her children, and that you might use her in a mighty way. And we pray for Noah that he too might have an opportunity to have an impact in the lives of others around him, as Noah did in his day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Here you go, Shana.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Rebecca. Rebecca happens to have a name as the same as one of our children, and so that was not hard to figure out what that meant. But Rebecca means, it's from the Hebrew, and it has the idea of to captivate. And if you know the story about when Abraham's servant went to the well to find the woman who would be Isaac's wife, he was captivated by the great character of this young woman named Rebecca. Rebecca's middle name is Lynn, very pretty name, but it has the meaning of cascading as a waterfall comes over. And so as we put those two names together, Rebecca Lynn, our blessing for you is may you be captivated by the awesomeness of God that cascades from above, that you might experience the value of His gracious love. And for your parents, Charles and Suzanne, we'll pray. Father, we thank you for Charles and Suzanne, and I pray that you would continue to be with them as they so desire to raise Rebecca to be that one who understands your great love. And Father, I pray that indeed she might be captivated by your great love and your great mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, these next four kids are the ones that I have the privilege of seeking to honor on a regular basis. And they have each gone through this process about 7 years ago. And I asked each one if they would desire to do it again, because as their dad, I want the opportunity, if possible, to show that I appreciate them and to share that I'm concerned about blessing them. So I'd like to ask my children to come, if they would, and share a blessing with them as well. They're getting a little big. First name is Timothy. Timothy is our oldest. You may not even know what his first name was, because he goes by TJ. But his middle name is James. Both of these are pastors in the Scriptures. I was not trying to determine what his vocation would be, but am impressed with these men, Timothy and James, and how that they had a devotion for God. And regardless of what Timothy's vocation is, I just hope that he has the same type of desires to live for the glory of God in that way. And all right. So Timothy, as we already have heard, means honoring God. Timothy, may your life continue to show honor to your God as you please Him with your obedience and your respect. Elizabeth talks about the oath or the promise of God. Elizabeth was a woman in the Bible, not said much about her, but she is one who is faithful with God from the time when, up into her older years, as she waited upon God to provide for her the child, and God provided for her John the Baptist. And that was basically her involvement. But Elizabeth talks about the promise of God and how she waited and waited on the promise of God. May you, Elizabeth, ever rest in the great promises of God and sincerely share them with others so that they too can have hope in the great promises of God. Rebecca, as we mentioned earlier, means to captivate. Rebecca's middle name is Faith, partially because her mom and I needed a lot of faith at that time, and trusting Him in the process of raising children, and really had to trust Him as we were embarking on our family of three at that time. But Faith also has that belief in Jesus Christ. So Rebecca, may others be drawn to and captivated by your great faith in Jesus Christ. Joy's first name is actually Esther, named after the queen in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who was used to save her people by her willingness to obey God. Esther means star and has the concept of brightness. Joy means joy. I looked that up in so many books and on the internet. No. But joy, may the joy that you have in your Savior radiate to the others like the stars in the sky. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you be with Marty and I as we desire to raise our children, and you've been so wonderful to bless us and help us through even these stages. And we thank you for the great blessing our children have been to us. But Lord, we pray that again, that you will continue to provide for them. And I thank you for their willingness today to be with us today and to be a part of this blessing time. And we thank you that they do indeed seek to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jordan. Jordan's named after a mighty river, the river in which Jesus himself was baptized in. And it was there when he was baptized when the Father above said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And as the dove had descended upon on the shoulder of Christ, as the Holy Spirit descended as a dove on him, the actual word Jordan means descender. That which descends from above. So the blessing we have for you, Jordan, is may your life reflect the descended power and grace of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will be with the McLaughlins, that you'll continue to bless them. We thank you for the steadfast input they've had in their older children and still in their desire to be faithful in raising their son, Jordan. And I pray that you would continue to bless them and that we might see the power of the Holy Spirit continue to work in their family. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. Let's give them all a hand for participating. And if there's any other children that want to go into the class over there, that's a good time to dismiss if that's where you would like to go, so that you can hear your story over there. Or you can sit and listen to me. And adults, you have to stay here. I'd like to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 49. If you have your Bibles with you, if not, just take the time to maybe listen to what we have to say, because I want to highlight these two different elements in regard to the blessing concept. In Genesis chapter 49, just as a little bit of background, the people of God, called the Israelites, who had been pulled out of their nation and brought to wander in the wilderness, under the direction of a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac had a son, two sons, but his main son that got the attention was Jacob. And from Jacob there were 12 sons that make up the whole tribe of Israel. One of those sons was a son by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was taken from his family by his 10 older brothers and was thrown into a pit, and then eventually taken out of that pit because he was worth more to them alive than dead, and he was sold into slavery into Egypt. While in Egypt, he went through the process of being a slave, and from being a slave to becoming in prison, to going into the point of being the second in command of all Egypt. Kind of an interesting way to go up the ladder. But that's how he ended up there, and we don't have time to explain all. But as a result, God brought a famine into the land, and then all his brothers and his father were brought into the land of Egypt out of their wanderings in the land. And that's where, if you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, Moses and such, that was just what precipitated that, how they got there in that situation. And when Jacob got to the land with his son Joseph and all the brothers were together, right towards the end of Jacob's life, he took the time to share a special blessing which each of his sons, pretty much reminiscent of some of their character and their names, and talked about what their future would be like. Now, I hope you understand that in me sharing the blessings that I did today, by no means do I claim to be any type of a prophet or one who is going to proclaim what should happen for these children. That is all in God's hands. But it's our desire that God will make it special to them as they reflect upon their name of what potential there is for them to serve Him and for them to be pleasing to Him. And the point that's different with Jacob's last words to his sons is they were somewhat prophetic, and they did kind of indicate what the blessing would be in their life and what some cases were not so much of a blessing. But in Genesis chapter 49, he goes down to the list of all the various sons and talks about kind of what they've been like, what they will be like, and what will happen with them as he gives this blessing upon them. But in verse 25, as he gets to that place, he says, "By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above." Jacob was recognizing that we need to depend upon the wonderful grace of God and the wonderful power of God to come in and work into the lives of our children. I mentioned in regard to Rebecca's name, Faith, that it is true. It is true when Marty and I were raising our family, and at that time, we every even year from 86 to 88, 90, God brought a child into our home. And the raising of children is something that did not come natural to either one of us. And the trials and the challenges of raising these children that would have been, you know, six, you know, a four, two, a newborn, required great faith. And it was for that reason that we realized that as this new one was coming into our lives, that we need to depend on Him to be the one to work in our lives and help us to be the type of parents that will give these children an opportunity to please their God, an opportunity for them to be well-pleasing to God. And I hope that that would be your understanding as well, whether you participated here this morning up front, or your children are here, whether your children aren't here, whether your children are grown, that you consider the fact that the raising of God's children is what we're doing. Is that we're taking that opportunity to invest the things that we've learned over the last several weeks, and a few more things we hope to learn in the next couple of weeks as we're in this family series, is to realize that we're not doing it on our own, and we're not doing it for ourselves, but we're doing it for the glory of God. And that we're dependent upon God to intercede, and we're dependent upon God to be involved with the lives of our children. Jacob recognized that. And so when we look at the blessings upon our children, we need to realize that that is a recognition, first of all, of our weakness, of our inabilities as parents, and our recognition of His strength and His provision as the great Heavenly Father to provide those blessings. Now, there's a second aspect that I want to look at under blessings, and it's those blessings rendered through praise. And I want to turn your attention, if you would please, to James chapter 3. For this is the actual blessings that I believe that God would have us to concentrate on, that of using our tongues in such a way that is pleasing to God, that which will encourage and build up our children. James chapter 3, the book of James is a beautiful book on how to live your life. If you're curious on how to live your life, you should study the book of James because it gives specific ideas. And one of those areas that it talks about that we need to be concerned about is how we deal with our tongues. There's probably not a thing that we're associated with that doesn't get us in more trouble than our own tongues. And in the midst of this 5-chapter book, in chapter 3, James takes the time to say, wake up and realize the impact that your tongue has in the lives of others. And I want to say that I am so thankful, and I'll just give a little testimony here, I am so thankful for an individual who loved me enough to confront me and tell me that I was not using my tongue in a proper fashion, and I was actually using it to tear down rather than to build up. And I am so glad that I was confronted with that before I was married and before I had children. Because I was able to then be conscious of that, not to say that I've been perfect at it. I've got too many witnesses in here otherwise. But I can say that I've been conscious of the fact of the value of using my tongue to build up instead of tear down. And James chapter 3 became very clear to me, because at that stage in my life as a college student, I had grown up thinking that what I said didn't matter, that people didn't even care about what I had to say. So many times I would use flippant responses or cutting remarks, thinking that, well, who am I and who are they going to take as far as what I say to heart? And to only realize that what I said did cause some hurt and did cause individuals to be discouraged and to be unhappy and hurt. And at that point, I had to sit down and think, I never thought that my mouth could have such an impact. And I thought, if me, lowly me, could have an impact in what I say, maybe that's true of others as well. I mean, I thought when people said hurtful things to me, I was the only one that was hurt. But I started realizing it's a biblical truth that what we say and how we say it matters. And I want to encourage our parents in particular that what we say and how we say it matters in this process of being parents to our children. For those who are not in the parenting stage, I want to say this, lest you not think it applies to you. What you say and how you say it matters. Because it has an impact. In James chapter 3, and I don't read the whole chapter, but hopefully you will take the time to. But in verse 10, he says this. I'll go back to verse 6. And it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell." Whoa. Some pretty intense words concerning the tongue. "For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." And my challenge to us is this. Those of us who desire to praise our God and lift up our voices and exalt Him and bless Him must also have the same type of tongue towards those individuals that we are responsible for in life. That we ought to not bless God and curse those who He has put into our lives. Whether it be co-workers, whether it be neighbors, whether it be family members, and especially in the context we are talking about, not our family members of our children. That we ought to have a desire to bless them, not in the same context as God, for no one deserves the blessing that God receives, for He is awesome, and He is perfect, and He is holy. But look what the Bible says, that we are made in the similitude of God. We are made in the image of God. And we ought to recognize that this creation of God is made in His image. And we ought not to want to tear it down and say evil things about it, but to recognize that it belongs to the God Almighty. And we want to use our tongue in such a way that praises and builds up. The word bless in the New Testament is the word eulogize. When we take the time to share about the wonderful memories and the wonderful things that we have about a loved one who has departed from this world is called a eulogy. But folks, there are times when we have an opportunity to share with loved ones who are still here so they can hear those words of how special they are to us and what a blessing they are to us, to talk and praise some special things about them. One of the things I want to encourage us in is that there's such a tendency in our society to get out of whack this process of parenting and childhood. I see a tendency that concerns me, for the Bible makes very clear that there is an order in the household, that God has established the parents to be respected by the children, and that the children should show honor to their parents. Talk about this in more detail in the next two messages that are coming up, Lord willing. But the idea is recognizing that the children need to honor and respect their parents and recognize the position as God has put them in. And it's not a situation where the children are elevated to the point where mom and dad are just these buddies that they hang with and that they share all this commonality and they're just kid around with, in the sense that we're all on the same level and we should be able to talk in this realm. And again, I'm not opposed to the idea of being a friend to your children. I hope I am considered a friend to my children. I spend time with them. I do things with them. We laugh together. We talk. We have a great time. But they always recognize me not as their buddy, but as their dad, as the father. Not because I deserve it because of who I am, but because God has said so. God has commanded them. And as a parent, and it says in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey and honor your parents." If I pull that out and I do not place myself in a position to where they will honor and respect me, I have failed them. For that's their role. That's their responsibility. And if I do not give them opportunity to do that, I have failed them. It's not for me. It's not for their mom. It's not so that we can have an ego trip of thinking we're being honored. It's because we do not want to encourage our children to miss the mark. We want to encourage them to be there. But in the same sense, that being honored on our part does not exclude us from wanting to honor our children, to respect them. And that's why for this day, I pulled them aside and asked them individually, would you be willing to join your mom and I up on stage so that we can honor you today? Would you be willing to do that? Because, you know, I know it's not easy to come up here. That's the one thing that keeps me coming up here most times, because I realize that 90% of you wouldn't come up here. So I think I'm willing to do it. Something scary about being up here. But I asked them that because I wanted to honor them and I wanted to respect them. And as I think about the words that we use to honor and respect our children, there's a phrase I want to encourage us in. And again, it might sound like I am dealing with semantics, but I always share my heart with you in regard to this. There's a term that I wrestle with. And I'm going to throw it out and let you chew on a little bit. But it's a term that has connotations that the Bible says is wrong. It says that they're evil things, that they're things that God hates in connection with it. And so it's very difficult for me to use this term, but it's that word proud and pride. You know, and I want to say that every parent should be proud or have pride in their children, but every time I say that, something goes inside me as I say, why would I encourage someone to have something that seems to be, in God's context, inappropriate? And so I thought that through, because certainly I would want parents to have an acceptance of their children and to desire them to do well and to be able to communicate how much they appreciate that they did well. And what word would work? And I thought, what about the one God the Father used for His Son? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I thought, this reconciles it for me. That I can encourage my children, not that I'm necessarily proud of them, that seems to put a pressure on them to exceed and excel. Because usually when I think of that, you're proud of somebody who's done something well, to be proud of somebody who's excelled, who has succeeded. But you can be pleased with someone even when they fail. You can be pleased with someone even when they sin. You may not be pleased with their actions, but you can be pleased with them in the sense that you're desirous of them and you desire a close relationship with them and you're pleased that they want to do the right thing even when they have failed. And as I thought about that, and I thought that is a tendency that we've wanted to use, is instead of putting an emphasis and wanting to praise our children by talking about how proud we are of them, to talk about how pleased we are. And then I had to think about what kind of context, because one of the things we have to be careful about as parents is getting involved with flattery. Flattery, putting a lot of emphasis on the physical appearance of our child, or even about the characteristics that they're able to accomplish, whether it be sports or speech or academic ability and all these type of things, which actually are God-given, and in many cases they don't have anything really to do about it. In some cases, they don't. Some of those of us who are not great athletes, we really didn't have much option there. You know, those of us who aren't real smart, we didn't really have a great option there as far as trying to be on the honor roll and such. Yes, we could have worked harder. Yes, we could get better grades. But as far as becoming valedictorian, But there are some things that, as we looked at previous lessons, that we're concerned about when they talk about them making the mark, are things that they can control. They may not be able to control how they look. We had more to do with that than they did, genetically. But we can. We can talk about how they behave. We can talk about how they deal with issues in life. How that when a disappointment comes and their heart is broken and they're frustrated, and we recognize how that they work their way through it, and through the tears they finally get done, they said, I think I understand how God is going to use this to change my life. And we say, I'm pleased with you for being able to do that. That encourages me that you learned something from this experience. I'm pleased that you are doing so much better in your spiritual walk at the stage you are in than I ever could have when I was your age. I'm pleased that you're doing so much better in your stage than I was when I was first married. You know, I'm pleased with how you are growing and changing and what God is doing in your life. And these are ways in which we can bless our children. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30, as we just close our time together and encourage us in regard to this element of blessing and encouraging others. We're told this in verse 31 of chapter 4. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now maybe that might be something we wrestle with. When our children misbehave or they do something that doesn't please us, maybe our tendency is to say some things. Maybe we're not a screamer. Maybe we are a screamer. And we say some things in a way we shouldn't. Or maybe we might not be a screamer, but we say some things in a snide remark. Or we say it in a very sarcastic fashion. Or we say it in a very bitter tone. God says, let those things not proceed out of our mouth. As verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. We're supposed to let that evil speaking, put it out of our lives, not allow that to come in that's going to cut down others, but instead replace it with those things that are going to impart grace to the hearer and provide the necessary edification. We'll close with this thought. Maybe we wrestle with reacting the wrong way. Maybe we wrestle with saying things we shouldn't have. Maybe we learned it that way. Maybe when we messed up as kids, there was someone there to tell us how badly we messed up and call us a name. We feel like we're continuing the cycle and the habit that we have started. God says that we can have victory over those habits, that we can change from that we can push that out of our life. And that is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, as he listed a number of sinful tendencies, fornicators, liars, adulterers, and he says, such were some of you, but you are washed by Jesus Christ. And folks, we have that great opportunity to change because of Jesus Christ. We can put out of our lives the old habits, bring into our lives the new habits, and have tongues that instead of spewing out cursings, can spew out blessings. Instead of tongues that tend to confuse, we can have tongues that clarify how we feel about that other individual and how important they are to our lives. Can I encourage you that sharing with those we love how much we love them and how important they are to us is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, have you ever studied the Word of God and noticed how often He talks about God so loved the world? That God doesn't have to tell us He loves us, but He does. And may we be encouraged to talk about the love, the pleasure we have, not only in our children, but maybe in our spouses. Not only in our spouses, maybe in co-workers, maybe in other church members. That we take the time to share, I appreciate you. I'm pleased with how you're involved. That out of our mouths might come the blessings and those words of encouragement. Father, we thank you for this time and thank you for the great patience of our individuals here today, especially the young ones. Father, I pray that we might be able to take your word and we might be careful about how we use our tongues and how that we be careful in how we talk to and about and how we talk to others. And Father, that we might be willing to use our lives as a blessing to others instead of as a discouragement that tears down. My Father, I pray that you will bless each one that is here, that they might be able to walk from here knowing that they have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They might know the greatest blessing is to be free from their sin and be able to have an eternity with you. Father, I pray that you might help us to be able to share that as well. For your Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those who are willing to share the great gospel of truth to others. May we be willing to do that. May we be willing to use our tongues for blessings rather than cursings. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.